a warm round of applause.
Hello.
Hello.
Schön, dass ihr da seid. Schön, dass
very ihr happy that you are here and very happy that I'm here. We're Anja and Masha. We're from the concept Cause. We want to thank everyone here, especially the angels, everyone that made this one possible.
Genau. Einmal ganz kurz vorstellen.
A short introduction. This is Anja. She lives. She works in the laboratory of new economic ideas, and she works for digitalization. And she's in the in the round of bits and trees. And this is Masha. Masha works with me in the Laboratory of New Economic Ideas. And she lives, works in. The concept ideas of.
Genau, es gibt auch Leute, die das kennen.
Socialization. I want to say something really short about the concept laboratory. We work in Leipzig. We work with ideas and spreading those ideas and how we can have our economy so it works for everybody. Basic democracy, we try to have everything as democratic as possible. We have needs-based payment and we try to live everything that we want for our community. We all work about 20 to 30 hours the week and we finance ourselves about honoraries or donations. If you have money left over, we would be very happy. Thank you, Anja. But now it should be about the study that you made with one of our colleagues. You have visionary ideas about transformation about our community. We did this study at the start of the year for one bigger study group, Codina it's called, and in this project it is about how can we use digitalization for sustainability. And in there they have one part of it, it's vision making and how we can use digitalization for sustainability. And to not just do it like that, they wanted to see what visions there are already. So we came into that part and we helped listing everything in Germany for visionary ideas for our future, for sustainability and ecology. Before starting, I want to add Sasha works with utopias. Why is that important to work with visionary ideas? So, what exactly is a vision? I want to start with that. A vision is a picture of something that we want for a future. And a lot of different political actors have different visions. And those visions usually mirror their values. And the target group of those people help orient them. A vision is even better if they have very strict and concrete ideas for the future. But what exactly is the vision?
So what's the difference between strategy and vision? So basically visions are about where do we want to go, whereas with strategy is like how do we get there? It's a bit more concrete in actual steps. All right, so visions. So at Congress, this is quite the topic. I looked at the Fahrplan, like at our, where like stuff has been talked about visions in the future. Do you have the feeling that generally, as a whole society, this is discussed a lot, or how is this being discussed? Well, we sort of have to discuss and debate more about visions, because the future, I think, is becoming more and more clear. We can't keep going the way that things are going. The future isn't just going to be a continuation, because the climate crisis and catastrophe is kind of counterbalancing that idea. And we really do need to talk, and this, I do believe that we do speak more about the future, but more in a dystopian way, less than a utopian development of a future. All right. Beyond that, visions, unfortunately, in our society oftentimes are being downplayed as dreams. So there's like, it's kind of this question of like, instead of having these public spaces where we talk about the bigger picture, like I have this quote from Volker Wissing, one of our ministers, on the digital strategy, we are not losing ourselves in future visions, but we're concretely going to attack digitalization and take it on. It's obviously supposed to sound really appealing, but in my opinion, this really means that he wants to take concrete steps without really knowing and discussing where it's supposed to be going. And that oftentimes seems to be short-sighted and honestly very orientationless in the worst case. So this is why for all of us, we really want to start having this discourse. Where do we want to go? All right, so I would say that there's a few people that are really like clinging to the status quo. They want to keep things the way they are. And then there is people that are quite brave who are looking beyond their own horizons and are kind of trying to think, what can stuff look like and can it be completely different? But we'll trace back to that later in a little bit. So let's talk a little about the visions of digital ecological transformation that we have. So what did you look at and what did you not look at? Okay, so we kind of looked at the German-speaking part. Couldn't look at everything, so we focused on civil society, state, and research players in the German-speaking society. It's already in the title of the talk. So we really only looked at German language stuff and their future visions. And unfortunately, we couldn't include like artistic or science fiction type of contributions, because obviously there's a vast body of work in that part. But that wasn't part of our research. That's a bit sad, but you know, you can keep going with the research, right? So how closely did you, like, how did you actually do this research? So we kind of focused on the different players and actors. So what actors do we have in that field? Like, who come from the civil society, who come from the state sector, who have something to say on the subject matter? And then we listed them as a starting point, and that at the end we were kind of at 52 players and actors from all these three fields. And then we kind of looked into, what did they publish, what have they written on this, what is on their websites, and then at the end we sort of cut it down to 28 that were left, that based on their publications really had spoken on digitalization and sustainability. We really only wanted those two things that were being mentioned. Otherwise it would have been a hell lot more. And at the end we had 22 sources that were remaining after we took a closer look at them. And that's mainly people from the environmental sector, but then also this tech sector, and then there's a few that were somewhere in between, there were sort of crossovers, and then we also have one player or one actor that's from the economic field. So it's not a large, massive study, it's more qualitative than a quantitative research. It's obviously not representative for the entire discourse. I'm pretty sure that we've overlooked a few things. Maybe some of the stuff will be added at the Q&A. I'm really excited to see if that is a few new insights that are being added. All right, so what are your results for the study? So you already saw that we didn't want to just list things, so we sort of tried to build types that cluster them, like ideal type clusters. Obviously, sometimes maybe a little pointed. We sort of ended up with six different visionary types that you can see listed on this slide. And I would just introduce each one of them like really briefly. Okay, so we have the first one, which is the type of dematerialization. It's sort of this word that we came up with in the, we use it in the lab actually quite often when it comes to digitalization, and also use it within bits and trees. And dematerialization basically describes the vision that by digitalizing processes, by increasing our efficiency, we decrease our use of resources and energy. So ultimately, that we are separating things from the material base, and all of this is obviously like quite present in the entire society. It's quite efficient driven, and it's a thing that we believe we will save resources and energy. It's technical optimism, and it all kind of goes in this direction that we will solve our societal problems via the needs and means of technology. It's a fairly normal narrative and often taken approach in technology. The other thing that we called was digital ecological modernization, and it's kind of the expectation that state institutions should create their own modern and ecological digital infrastructure. So the state, as a biggest and a most important player, an actor, should be responsible and is responsible to create a common good focused set of technology and offer it to their citizens. And this is sort of a little bit like the third type that we came up with, which is like a guardrails approach. It's very close. It talks a lot about regulatory instances and laws and things such as this, but it's more like having digitalization within guardrails and within borders. So it's not necessarily about a vision of the future that's being developed, like a clear vision that's being developed. It's really more about a demand and the assumption that we will need borders and guardrails in which things can develop and grow. So really set a framework, but not very much clearly on what it is going to look like. And the fourth is something that it's a little bit more pointed. We call that digital ecological MOT or inspection, in German too. So the idea was a little bit from the actors that name this. They obviously don't call it that, but we describe it as this. It's a continuous re-evaluation that should be happening. We are using technology for a specific purpose, and then we should continuously re-evaluate, is this reaching our goal? How many resources are actually being used? Is this a contribution to be more sustainable, or is it not? And then there is few different players that are being nabbed, different actors. It's quite broad. There's the state, there's researchers, there's the civil society as an impulse giver, users and developers. So it's quite a broad. Obviously they don't talk about repair shops, but the continuous re-evaluation, and this is why we kind of gave it that name, because that's what the MOT and the inspection offices do. The last one goes into, the fifth one goes into a little bit different direction. It's the digital sufficiency. So the idea is that we should have sustainability that's being gained. We should basically use as much digitalization as necessary, but also as little as needed. So that is a little bit more concrete, this idea. Like, it sort of comes from the research from Stefan Lange and Santari, and they developed upon that and published quite a few research papers on this, but other civil society actors picked that up. So maybe that's a term that you actually encountered at Congress or in other contexts. Sufficiency is something that's one of the three strategies that you can use within sustainability and should lead to sustainability. And the next one is low tech. We call that low tech. And it's kind of the counter term to high tech. And the idea really is that we just take a different attitude or approach. Technology should be adjusted and based upon human needs. And a it's basically should be happening within planetary borders. And the main actors within this idea are the people that are actually developing and designing technology. So spaces such as hack spaces, repair cafe shops, institutions for education within the university context. So actors like that are part of this visionary, but they're also the responsible ones in this vision. So maybe this should be enough for the six types, and thank you.
Thank you for showing us those. Could you please go into detail on how they separate each other, these ideas? Yeah, sure. This graphic tries to show it a little. I'm going to take you with me. So we have on the outer ring, you see those six ideas. They're on different parts, and for one, we try to set those dimensions on how they can be separated. One of them is transformation. How is it changing? On the very right, we have vertically, and up we have. For one, collective action happens from down here, and the other part is the state, and down here we have low-tech, on the one hand, the visions that have the clearest transformation that it has to happen from down, from the down part, so happening from our part. And on the digital ecological change, that's more of a job of the higher part, so the state. And now even those regulation parts. Then we also have the differentiation on how the players go for digital stuff that is sustainable, or how digital stuff is helping sustainability. It sounds very similar, but the idea behind it is very different. Low-tech and digital sufficiency is the sustainability behind it, is the technology behind it in front of it, and they see it as a limiting factor. So the technology is limited. We can't just throw technology onto it to fix it. So which role technology has in our society, that's how it should, how it's differentiable. And on the other side, we have, we use our technology to solve our problems, and the technology in front of it is the main part. For the climate crisis, for example, we have a lot of technological ideas how to fix it.
Genau, und
then we also have the differentiation between if they more use sufficiency or efficiency. That's the axes down here. The four first ones more use efficiency. Use and the other three more use sufficient. The other one is visionary, the one is. More strategic, and the other one is what we would call visions. At the beginning, we also talked about what visions are and how to describe them. Could you tell us what of those are visions and what aren't? So I would say that those types are very different in how visionary they are, and the dematerialization and the low-tech are, in my idea, the more visionary ones, and the other ones are more strategies on how we can go with less steps. Dematerialization and low-tech are more or less opposites, so that's very interesting. Would you say, with like any ideas, we need global future and we need a global digital future, are those ideas any good for those? So I would answer this question very differently for those. So the vision of dematerialization, it doesn't really fit into that global digitalization future, but that vision already helped us a lot, you know, medicine, technology, global communication, all that we have to thank is thanks to digital innovation. But the idea that efficiency to dematerialization, so resources and growth are separated, that's very unrealistic. So it's always connected to any resource. It cannot be unconnected to that. And the costs of that are also a very big factor. In this community that we live, those costs and the happenings after that, that's ignored a lot. But even the future idea for that, it's also being not looked at, but we really should have that in mind with trash and yeah, so that's an idea that would more just keep us in our current strategy. Low tech, I would say, is more the one that respects our borders.
Right, and with that, we obviously have also a very different vision of the future in low-tech. So it's like the things that we're kind of familiar with and what we know, like low-tech would, in an ecological democratic society order, be present, and it really does think digital technology quite differently. It should be repairable, it should be reusable, it should be modular, it should be decentralized, there should have unified standards, it should be based on needs, and the technology should be working for the human and not the humans for profitable focused technology. And that's obviously a very different, like there's a lot more things in that vision than what we are familiar with. In the mainstream focused, that's been like the mainstream, that's how it's designed. Yeah, we really do have to envision a completely different society within low tech and what technology would be looking like and design of technology. And we really, within this, we need to see this within quite the change of the system. Like, we can't just like turn one screw over. It's really like a lot of different things that are going to be interconnected. And it would be quite the radical change within our society, like limitation of like the narrowing down the numbers of people, like hours that we work, self-organized, common good markets. Like, it's these are just a few kind of keywords that I'm dropping here. The deciding factor here is obviously whether the future can actually take a turn like that. It's a question of power. It comes down to who makes these decisions, who carries these decisions within a society. So on this level of grassroots and up, it becomes quite clear. I would like to add one more quote, so that Wissing isn't the only one who's being quoted. quoted from Adrienne Mary Brown, an author from the US. She talks about a battle of imagination. So she, in our societies, claims and says there's different political actors that are attacking her future vision and their future visions, and we're sort of in this battle of future visionary imagination of the future. And which vision of the future do we want to have? And we need to talk about the vision of the future a lot more in order to actually get quite concretely to where we want to get. And with this study, we really kind of wanted to give you an idea of what type of visions are there. It's very descriptive rather than, but we kind of wanted to create a base to start having a conversation. So what are the things that are there? What are the visions that are there and that are present? And what are maybe not as apparent, like it's to make them a little bit more present, give them a bit more of a voice. And at the beginning, we already said that obviously this isn't all encompassing. Like there's a lot of different other sectors, especially within the arts. There's different approaches that we obviously didn't take into consideration and didn't focus onto at all. Where there's obviously, it's quite worthwhile to like have a look at that. Like, well, like how do they actually think it? Like how do they think digitalization and ecology? You mentioned the book from Solar Punk. Yeah, I mean, some of you might know this book. It's a social movement, but there's also a literature genre that I highly recommend. I'm very excited about it, and obviously there's a book. It's a bit older, from the queen of science fiction, Ursula Le Guin, Free Ghosts, Free Minds. It's not really just about technology, but it's really more about a societal order that's different. And then very current, The Ministry of the Future by Stanley Robinson. And he obviously like opens a whole box. How can we deal differently with a climate crisis? And I believe like it's quite good to look at science fiction because there is visions of a completely different future there, and they're being discussed. And they're obviously a little bit more brave. They're not just a little, quite. And that doesn't really happen in the political discourse. However, if you are interested in looking into the research, you can find it under this QR code or on the website, under the materials. And at the laboratory, we also have a newsletter if you want to stay up to date with what we normally do. You get it once a month, so it's not super spammy. We'll like just report on what's happening with us. And we are obviously looking forward to donations. We're an NGO. We have quite radical demands, and with these positions are not the favorite by the sponsors, the public sponsors. So we do rely on private sponsorship quite a bit. Exactly. And I talked a lot about we should be discussing future visions quite a bit more, and this is why I would suggest we should start discussing. And I have a preferred method, and it's called Marble Round. So what we start doing is everybody starts discussing with their neighbors. So you talk to the person that's next to you, preferably someone that you do not know just yet. And with that person, I would like you to all have 5 minutes and discuss what you've just listened to, what was maybe intriguing, what was something that rose questions, like what's something that you would really like to dig deeper into. And then after that, we'll do a little bit of a Q&A. And what hasn't been asked then, we also have a stand. It's in the Bits and Trees area. And you can come visit us and obviously raise your questions there. Can we have a little bit of light? That would be great. You now have 5 minutes to discuss with your neighbors.
On point durchgeritten. Davon gehoppelt derzeit. Ja. Ich glaube, es war nicht zu schnell, aber.
Können wir Hannes nachher nochmal fragen? Ja. Machen wir vielleicht 4 Minuten?
Ja. Irgend sowas.
Ja.
Also bis 28.
28. Ja, wir haben 23 angefangen. Können ja gleich mal gucken.
Na, wie ging's dir?
Gut.
Ich bin echt erstaunlich entspannt. Also, ich habe jetzt gerade überhaupt kein Herzrasen. Oder
super.
Irgendwas.
Ja, es ist auch echt.
Ich schwöre auf die Couch.
Richtig
chillig. Ja, ich schwöre auf die Couch.
Ja, ich hoffe auch, es war jetzt nicht zu schnell und zu
Naja, ja, man merkt halt Stunde. Einfach vielleicht, wenn man so, dass wir das schon häufiger gesagt haben, ne?
Also. Dass wir jetzt so schnell waren, meinst du?
Ja, das ist ja nur möglich, wenn man schon das häufig gesagt hat, ne? Also ich war, aber genau, können wir nicht machen. Das.
Ja, mal gucken. Wir holen uns nochmal Feedback.
Ja. Geil, Mann. So einen Saal zum Murmeln zu bringen.
Lassen wir das da jetzt einfach so stehen? Ja, oder?
Ja, ist gut. Wollen wir 27 machen?
Ja.
Ah, okay. Danke. Wir dachten... Aber wir sind noch an. Okay. Wir dachten, ab 27 können wir Q&A machen. Magst du dann einfach?
Sollen wir auch.
Alles klar. Danke fürs Murmeln.
All right. Thank you for talking with each other. Now we're going to go over to the comments or questions. As always, there are four microphones, two over there and two over there. And then there is also the internet. We're going to start with microphone four.
Hello.
Thank you for your very nice talk. I understood you that your vision of dematerialization as a contrast to low-tech, that it's very strongly connected to capitalism. I don't really understand that. I don't think it has to be like that. Could you elaborate on that a little? What exactly you thought about that part?
Yeah, thank you for the question. Do we want to collect questions first? I'm okay, no, I think I'm going to just answer the question. We sort of had these as counterpoints, as because they were quite on different ends, they were quite polar to one another when it came to the different attitudes. So dematerialization, I think what we should, it's important to mention is this sort of this narrative that's like out there, but it's really like within the resources, it really can only be found within like economic players rather than civil societal or state actors. So it's more an idea rather than a concrete goal. That might be something that's different here between the two of them. It's also quite unclear how this is then supposed to happen within the digital sector. Obviously, the steps on how to get there and who should be responsible and who should be putting it into place are not being really described. And I would say that it's something that's quite strongly connected to the paradigm of hypergrowth that we do have. And I mean, we do see it, we look at, I think it's because it's grasping to the status quo and it's just trying to throw technology at the problem and not just to simply not change societal structures. It's very short-sight, it might be the better solution, but in the long run, it probably will be rather problematic. Maybe in addition to that, to make that a little bit more clear on why we put them at two opposite ends, because they are quite opposite in their positionings. But these dimensions, I would say that there is a interconnectivity at the same, like the between this like paradigm of growth and the dematerialization.
Microphone one.
Hello.
Thank you that you open up this very complex study, what of those visions is the most fun? A lot of people on Congress are connected by fun, and you know, talking about what is fun about stuff, what of those visions could really get those people to act.
I would say technology that's fun is a technology that you understand and that you can work well with, and then maybe also a few more people than people today. I mean, today it's quite a small part of society that really understands their own smartphone. And I do think that technology that's understandable, and at this, for example, like I envision the future that we have a lot more hack spaces and repair workshops and repair coffee shops, and it's much more part of school education, so that people just become a lot more self-sufficient. And I believe, for me, that's part of low-tech vision, and I believe that low-tech vision can actually be a hell lot more fun, because we would have a hell lot more time. Like, it would reduce work hours collectively. It's a very essential part of the vision itself, and the people would have a lot more time to play and to just try things out and to repair, to DIY, to do it a bit like CCC style for everyone, and a lot more often and more commonly.
Do we have a question out of the internet?
Okay,
no. Okay. So, microphone two.
Hello.
Thank you for your talk. It was very nice to look over everything and understand how they are connected with each other. I really wanted a bit more concrete. I am agile coach and I have a team, and I really wanted to bring them in. So how is software able to be created for this? Green coding, for example. So when I understand you correctly, digital sufficiency, that would be the direction it's going.
Yeah, I would say you're correct in that evaluation. So what we tried to do is that we looked at different visions of the future, and Masha also mentioned this. So the visionary levels, we found very few things that were like super hyper, like far future visions. It was a lot of stuff are actually quite concrete steps, which is also quite helpful, obviously, but visionary visions, as Masha said in the beginning, are about an orientation of where do we want to go, and how do we get there. So what I would say, what you're doing, like with green coding and design software more sustainably, are really important steps to take into that direction of digital sufficiency, where technical design is obviously quite important. And digital sufficiency is these four dimensions: hardware usability, software sufficiency, and economic sufficiency. And that would obviously go into the direction of software sufficiency. And those would be like concrete steps that you could take now.
All right. Then, microphone two again. First of all, thank you for your talk. And to the topic of visions. I think that the politics have visions, but they don't really act on them. And we as children have to live in this world for quite some time. And if politics only have visions, it doesn't do anything for us. We need goals. We need goals that we can act towards. But only having visions is, just a matter. It does not help us. And for the politics, it's probably very difficult to work thus far. I mean, politics doesn't even get the easy part, so.
Thank you for the comment, very brave. I'm not quite sure how visionary the politics of this country are. Maybe they have visions, but they don't really explicitly state them. What I would like to criticize in my understanding of the future, we all are a lot more democratic. There's a lot more grassroots democracy. We as a society, and we should be developing this vision together. Like us, we should be discussing in what type of future do we want to live. And that's something that I think we're lacking. And the concrete steps we should take after, we should be deriving them from that vision. But before we have that conversation, we can't even have the vision itself. So I think there's quite a few concrete steps that we can take, but we haven't discussed really where we want to go.
Okay, dann machen wir noch eine Frage.
All right, then we do one more question. Microphone two. Thank you. I have two short questions. One part of it, dematerialization. I'm a bit confused by it. Is it a term that you made up for, you know, an upper topic of those visions, or do those people use that topic?
And
I'm a bit confused on how they act together. Is high tech the opposite of low tech? So is dematerialization equal high tech? Second question is, are you over the new planning debate, the whole visions with digital tools? Do you have an ideas of doing a new planning economy? A bit better than, you know, a market economy. What are your ideas?
Thank you for your questions. So the term itself, dematerialization, is not used by the actors themselves. So it also doesn't come from us. It's used by other actors as well, like the researchers, the civil that are doing civil societal research and work on this. So I think it's just supposed to kind of describe the idea that they have. So the vision, dematerialized, there's nothing dematerialized about their vision. And low tech is really more a term that people within that vision are actually using and claiming that term. To the second question, I didn't really come across that. And I kind of asked myself why. Maybe you can come up to me and we can address that blind spot and would like to discuss this a bit further. I suspect that it wasn't really explicitly about ecological questions, and this is probably why it didn't come up, like digital technology, to how it can help with other allocation mechanisms within society and other problem resolutions. Like there's obviously a lot of different sectors, like social sector and stuff like that, but we really focused on ecological questions, and this is, I think, why we excluded it.
Gut, vielen Dank, Anja und Mascha.
Thank you. Anja and Mascha, thank you very much. A warm applause. This talk was translated.